morning. It's the Morning DNA for July 19th, 2021. I'm Aaron Dicer, the man of a single black shirt. She is Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions. And we're here to find out what today is made of because, you know, that's the DNA.
That's what we do.
DNA is what things are made of.
You know, so Evan, it always is. It's always loud. It always has been. And when people watch back the, like on Twitch, for example, when someone goes over to my channel for the first time and then it auto plays one of my most recent videos, which is this show, amongst other things. But if it's this show, it's like, bam, and every 100% of people are like, wah! They like throw their headphones off and it's just part of how we make sure to troll you, I think is what I'm saying.
I was thinking, if by the way, if you're ready to see Danae be triggered, just get ready. It's about to happen right at this very second.
Okay. Oh, no. You know me so well, so you're probably right. What is it?
Just your volume is now quiet, so if you could turn it up just a little bit. That's all. It will be fine. You don't have to do anything. I'm sure people can hear you. It will be fine. The thing about the intro is I was thinking the other day, what if I just randomly replaced it with the These Chips Are Good version
of that
song
100%.
Just one morning?
Yeah.
And just, you know, that's a little bit longer than the 2 minutes, so I don't know like exactly how that would work. But yeah.
So I'm assuming that my volume is better now.
Your volume's great. Your volume is great.
Wonderful.
It's perfect.
Great. Thank you. Guys, every single time that we connect, and it's not just for the Morning DNA, it's for other projects as well. And Aaron's like, you're so loud. You're so loud. And I'm dropping it down to 20%. And he's like, that'll work. And then now it's too quiet. Nick has a good suggestion of a Chips remix.
Yeah.
So that would be good. Yep. And I also wanted to say hello to Daredo.
Thank you, Daredo.
You popped up this comment as the show was about to start. It says, hello, I'm a podcast listener. It's so cool. I'm just here so Aaron can say he has a viewer on Aaron's Twitch channel, which is fantastic. But I'm so excited to see like a podcast listener show up on Twitch. I love Twitch. I love the community that's on YouTube and like this kind of new... Because we have fans that are like brand new fans that are just finding our content for the first time.
Yeah, it's true.
But like the old school original podcast fans are like ones I get freaked excited to see. So
yeah, I mean, if you're old school, like if you're OG podcast, like Shoe the Dough podcast fan, I mean, that was 2012, right?
Yeah.
So like
that was the begin. We were baby years. Broadcasters. I was a baby broadcaster. You were like,
I'd been in the game.
I was
a grizzled veteran.
Yeah. Exactly.
Come with me, kid. I'll show you what broadcasting is.
Hey, it's good to see you, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Thanks, everybody, for just showing up for us on Mondays specifically, and also, of course, some days when we do the show. This is one of our favorite things to start the week with. It means something to us, and we know it means something to you.
I know it's you know, still just a fraction of those on Danae's Twitch, as it probably should be, but I will say there are two people watching on my Twitch right now, so you guys get to have conversations together. So
completely
lonely.
I put up a poll as the show was starting. Do you want to know what the poll was? It was, will Aaron be in a black shirt? Yes or no?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Of 100% voted yes, you would be. So they know you. They know you.
Almost wasn't. I have, as you know, I've integrated some gray shirts, to like dark gray shirts to this rotation.
Scandalous.
And I was wearing a dark gray shirt this morning and I was like, it's Monday. Got to put the black one on. So I changed shirts at the last second. So,
So is yours like an unwashed stinky shirt? This is why I'm glad we do the show separate.
This came straight from the closet clean. I've got a whole row of these that I just, you know, pull off the hanger. So, yeah.
Brian says, I miss the Shoe the Dough podcast. Tell you what, we have had a lot of iterations of the Shoe the Dough podcast. It is far different than it was when we first started. When we first started, the podcast was Aaron's brainchild of segments for us to play around in. It was a place for us to kind of play and experiment with things we could do on the radio. Mm-hmm. And it launched its own like podcasts, accidental, like Sif Pop podcast, for example, which is one that Aaron does with Andrew Ormsby now. Every weekend. Is it on Sundays or Saturdays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually record on Sundays. Usually comes out on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's like the pop culture kind of wing. It started off as Aaron's, like one of Aaron's main expressions of his love of like media and content and things that, and then he was doing his YouTube reviews at that time. So the Shoe the Dough podcast was just like a place for us to experiment with a lot, even fun games we used to play all the time. And mm-hmm. we kind of cycle between, there's like a New Music Digest. We'd listen to new music together and chat about it. And this is just the most recent iteration of the show, which is much more morning show style, mm-hmm. Because we also don't have our radio outlet anymore. So this is a place for us to kind of do, I don't know, a little bit of everything. Yeah. And so hopefully the new iteration of the show is something you're still enjoying. You can still catch this on the Shoe the Dough podcast feed. Correct. So
technically, Shoe the Dough is not discontinued. It is still a podcast. You can still subscribe to it. This is considered season 6 of Shoe the Dough. This morning DNA kind of run that we're doing now is considered season 6. And I was just looking at that. We've done like 60 episodes of this. Can you believe that?
Whoa.
It's really growing. Something like that. I'd have to look to be sure, but yeah.
Now we at several points we're doing the Mondays and some days.
That includes both, yeah.
So I don't know if we've been doing it just quite a year yet. Then have we? I don't think we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow.
We'll have to check it out, but yeah, so you can still subscribe to Shoe the Dough. Absolutely.
Deirdre says, I'm going for a walk. Or I'm going to take my dog on a walk. I'll listen to the podcast later. I'll leave a lurk. Danae can explain what that is, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the education.
Thanks for wishing us well. The picture of the dog in your profile is adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What's a lurk, Danae? What's a lurk? What's leaving a lurk?
Leaving a lurk means that somebody is watching you, but not technically there anymore. They're not present anymore. But Twitch kind of gauges viewership. So you could have like, let's say 100 people are watching and mm-hmm. 80% are lurking, you're still having viewership. It's like a way for Twitch to know that you have an active channel and you've got an active audience, even if they're lurking. Mm-hmm. I think there's some restrictions about it a little bit, like it's better if you keep the volume on, things like that, but it's interesting stuff. So he's lurking. He or she is lurking.
Thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you, Daredo. Mm-hmm. Appreciate mm-hmm. that very much. I am excited. I think, Danae, you're the same. Look forward to this every Monday, hanging out with you guys. Such a good crew that comes and hangs out with us. We say mostly on Danae's Twitch, but there's several people hanging out on YouTube right now, too. So thank you for joining us there as well. And mm-hmm. And even, you know, the book of faces.
There's a couple book faces, too.
So, thanks for joining us wherever you join us from. Danae, how are you doing? You feeling all right? Ooh, you were rushing around this morning. So
it's been a nutty couple days. So yeah. I have my cousins in town and she's staying in town for a month. So rather than it being the standard, she jumps into town with the children and the family and then we get to do like one good hangout and then she's gone. We get to actually see her multiple times, which allowed for us to spend a good chunk of time mm-hmm. getting deep dive talking about becoming mothers and like just the dynamic that changes and all these different intricacies. So that happened a couple nights ago. I was up pretty late leading into yesterday where I got up really early and went on a walk, like a 7,000 step walk. I don't know what that means.
Nice. I don't either. I usually go by miles. But
yeah, most people do, but I don't, apparently.
How long were you walking?
3 mile. I think it's a 30-minute walk. It was an hour. We walked for an hour.
You walked for an hour.
Yeah.
And so...
I feel like I really need to be honest here. I walked for 30 minutes, stopped, had a latte and a breakfast quesadilla, and then walked 30 minutes back. Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. But a total of an hour.
Exactly. Exactly.
So generally people walk right around. Were you walking fast at a good clip or just like a normal speed?
I did not break a hip. So
did you break a sweat?
It was 95% humidity.
Okay, so yeah, so that's probably not. I would say you probably, yeah, over the course of an hour, you probably walked 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah, I walked the mile. I did stuff. And so that started my day, which of course puts you in a state of, for a little while, you're like, yeah. And then your body's like, yeah. But then on top of the sleep, so I was confused. Then we went to my grandmother's 91st birthday, mm-hmm. where we, because my cousin's in town, she's like, let's do something. And that turned into 40 people descending upon my grandmother's house, old school style, like old school family hangout style. It was so fun, but it was also like just a lot of people and a lot of conversations. Mm-hmm. I was so tired. So I'm doing good. But this morning was like,
what a weekend.
I dragged myself out of bed, but I got 10 hours of sleep. So I'm rested.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ooh, that was a lot of energy. I spent a lot of energy over the weekend.
Well, I did too. You? Your house is still home to my bike with
it's
a
true.
Flat tire. So yeah. I wanted to play some disc golf on Saturday.
Or is it? We might have sold it.
Oh, did you? I'll be mm-hmm. looking forward to those proceeds. So I decided to walk to the disc golf course and back, and that is probably like I would say 2 miles there and 2 miles back, and then of course walking around the golf course. So yeah, I probably did a good 10,000 steps as well on my my disc golf journey. It was the best round I've ever played though, so I'm like, maybe I should walk all the time.
Well,
if I'm gonna play that well.
That's good for me since I sold your bike and that won't be a problem anymore.
It was hot though. It was glorious that the clouds kind of came in the afternoon, like, because it was supposed to start raining like around noon. So I thought I got out there early enough. But when I started walking home, it was like half, 11:30 or so. And the clouds started to come in because if that sun had been blazing down my whole walk home, like,
yeah.
Let's be honest. It would have been rough, but it wasn't too bad.
That's good. We did get caught. Yeah. So the night that I went out to dinner with my cousin, we did get caught in the big rainstorm. That was interesting. We were downtown. Yeah. So okay. Get this. We went to the first restaurant. We were told that there's this rooftop restaurant downtown Springfield at the Vandevort Hotel, mm-hmm. which is like mm-hmm. a nice expensive hotel.
The Voldemort Hotel. Yep.
So we go in and they're like, oh, you have to walk through the building, go out the back door, and then look across cat a corner. There's another building with a V on it. Go in there. And then both of us, I think we stopped listening. Something about an elevator. We do this. It's very strange. We're walking through an alley. We get to another building. We go in the door. There's no one there. There's no one like greeting you. It's just a building. And so the only place it goes is to an elevator. There's no sign on the elevator, like restaurants this way.
It's an adventure. Yeah.
We're like, is this a secret society? We don't know. We push the button. We don't even have any idea of, I don't know. So we get in the elevator and then there's a button that says like the name of the restaurant on the wall. So then we're like, okay, we're in the right spot. Door opens up on the rooftop. There's this big sign that kind of greets us. That's part of the tile of the wall. It looks really expensive. This is the... Oh, I don't know if it's the only rooftop restaurant in Springfield, but it's like the nicest one. And it's supposedly like the place to be for the sunset. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a wonderful evening. We're going to eat outside. We get turned away at the door because she had her infant with her.
Oh, no babies
allowed. And apparently
it's
more bar than it is restaurant.
Ah, got it.
Which would have been nice to know when we were back at the beginning. So then we leave there. We're kind of dealing with the ramifications of being turned away and talking about that. We go to 4 other restaurants on foot in the downtown area. Two and a half hour long waiting list on one. You know, like we're just kind of like, well, we don't want to go there because we've been there before. Well, this one has it's a really small space and I don't know that the baby buggy is going to fit in there. And like, we're just having to do this. And then the rain.
And then the rain.
So we were like, we're picking this restaurant. And even though there's a 40-minute wait, we had to wait outside. There was no standing room. So we had to wait outside in the rain. So we rushed over across the street and found this sort of tiny little section where the entrance to this to the space that we were kind of in front of was just enough out of the rain that we weren't getting soaked. And we stood in the rain and talked for like 45 minutes before we got to go eat. And that's what happened.
That's an adventure right there.
It was such an adventure.
That's amazing.
My shoes are soaked.
Nick says, I was listening to Old Chew the Dough, and a couple times you did this or that eps. I think Would You Rathers.
Oh, yes.
And my kids get sad when I listen, and it's not that kind of ep. They love those.
We haven't done one of those in a while. I actually still have the book that we were using, though.
Well, and we used your Would You Rathers as well. You know, we did, because we were doing the show live, kind of like this, for a while, and people would kind of chime in with their own Would You Rathers. Yeah, there is a higher than 0% chance when we're able to start doing Some Days Again that we will start instituting more segments like that and kind of, you know, doing some fun stuff like Would You Rathers and that kind of stuff. But yeah, so that's fun stuff.
It was fun stuff. It is fun stuff. And you can go back and listen to the old ones. Although at this point, you know what we're going to say. So that's not very exciting because the mystery is gone. We could do stuff like that. Yeah, we could introduce.
There could be somebody watching on Twitch right now who's like, a podcast? You have a podcast? I listen to podcasts. What's it called? And then they subscribe and listen to stuff from 8 years ago. And they're like, are these the same people?
They are. Yes. Only Danae's voice is like 6 octaves lower.
Was it?
I mean, it is now.
Oh, it is now. Got it.
I talked much higher.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what happens when you talk a lot. It's just, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Elizabeth says, good morning. Good morning, Elizabeth. Good morning.
How's your new job?
Yeah, for real, right? You want to shoe a dough?
Let's root it.
We will shoe that dough. We're going to do the DNA and you. It is our Monday tradition. That means we're going to take a D topic, an A topic, and a U topic. The U topic is whatever you want to talk about. If you have a question for us, a topic you want us to discuss, something that's on your mind that that you want to hear conversation about, just let us know. Put the letter U at the beginning so that we know it is a U topic. But we've got our own topics. First, Danae, kick us off. What do you want to talk about?
Well, because we got together with the family, there was a lot of stories that could be told about family gatherings. But there was this one moment when we sang, and it got me thinking, we all probably have this thing that we do as a family. And it's not really a family gathering until that thing happens. And for us, we love to sing. Now, we all got to sing Happy Birthday, obviously.
Sure.
And that's expected. You know, we're all gathered around Grandma's rocker, and we're singing Happy Birthday to her, about to give her her present that we all collectively got money together and got her a new refrigerator and a new dishwasher.
Oh, nice.
So it's just this kind of fun thing. But what our family does is we harmonize. We love to sing. And so, like, around Christmas time, we sing the Christmas hymns, and it's like 4-part harmony. You know, everyone's doing their thing. So, of course, it took, like, I don't know, 2 seconds for Happy Birthday to become this amalgamation of harmonic, you know, singing. And it was, but there's something about it that I don't know that every family does that. In fact, I know not every family does that, because I remember going to other family functions growing up wondering where the music was. Like, do you guys not?
Guys, why is nobody singing?
Why is no one singing in the third?
Yeah. Where's
Okay. Is this not?
Where's the alto part? Who's got the alto part?
It was just a lovely it was just a lovely thing. There's just certain things that make you feel like it just takes you all the way back. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not always positive for everybody. I know people might have an answer to those questions, like, it's not family gathering until someone
Uncle
argues.
Mike brings up Trump.
So you don't have to obviously talk about anything that's triggering for you guys, but for us, right. I had a really lovely moment where, even though it was so quick and it was over so fast, it wasn't like we were singing 10 hymnals together. It was still a really lovely experience.
Yeah. Elizabeth says, not really a family gathering, but it's not a gathering of any sorts with friends or family friends until someone pulls out the card games. That's where I was going to go as well. We have a game we play called Shanghai that today you guys have played with us as well on occasion.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not, family's not hanging out until we're all sitting around the table playing Shanghai and trying to buy each other's cards that they want and making fun of the ways that everybody plays. And you play it so much that you know everybody's habit. Like, for instance, my mom is always the one who's like, oh, my hand is terrible. Oh, how am I ever gonna get there? Oh, look, I got the card I needed. I'm out. You guys lose. That's basically how my mom operates. So we make fun of her for that. It's not family for us until Shanghai happens would probably be the answer.
We definitely have games too. And honestly, probably games are more frequent than the singing. But that one, like, it just shook me. It was such an interesting thing. You're just, and you can go back in your memory, just in all the voices. And it's your family's voices too. It's not like listening to a choir. These are voices that you've heard your whole life. So it was really powerful and meaningful to me.
Jacob says, ditto, my family has our own rules for a game called Hand and Foot. We play Hand and Foot as well. That was the other one.
Which Shanghai one's kind the of, Hand and Foot?
Hand and Foot is the one where you you end up collecting like runs and sets, but you can continue. Like you have your hand, and then you have another series of cards that are your foot, and you can't go to your foot until you've played all the cards in your hand.
Oh, and so then you play your foot,
and then there's points for, you know, and there's threes or
we play a game called Chicken Foot. So I was wondering if it's the same thing.
No, I don't believe so.
No, it's not, because ours involves dominoes. So
okay, are black threes 0 points and red threes negative 300 points?
No. Okay. But the double blank could be 50. So woo. Lolly says at my extended family's play game. My extended family plays a game called Is That Your Bill at Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain. Go for it, though. But it involves lying on the floor blindfolded. What? And you have to try and hit the other person with a rolled up newspaper.
Okay. Lots of questions. First of all, I've never heard something that is more UK in my entire life.
Then
is that your bill?
She's not in the UK. I mean, maybe she's not in the UK. This might be something that's like, I don't remember what state she's in.
No, I don't know
like
where
Iowa.
She's in. I'm just saying this sounds like an old English, like this came over from the old country. Like this is
it is
just
UK
like,
family, she says. Okay.
Okay. So, see? What did I say? I have never...
I can't get over this. I just have this amazing visual of somebody like laying on their side and just spinning around. Like, you know how when you do that dance or something where you like lay on your side and you like kick your legs out and you just kind of spin around in a circle, but you're blindfolded and you're just.
Okay. Well, there's so many places to go. Hold on. We got a few things. Slab says, no, it's UKAF, which by the way, as we all know, means as foretold. Just in case you wondered what AF stood
as foretold.
For. It's UK as foretold.
As foretold.
And then Lolly clarifies, no. The name of the game is that you, Bill? Like, Bill is a name.
Oh.
Like, is that you, Bill? So you lay on the ground blindfolded with a rolled up newspaper and you swing it around going, is that you, Bill? Is that you, Bill?
Oh, no. Elizabeth says, is this a weird version of 7-Up Heads Up? Oh, my God. Lolly says, yeah. They say, is that you, Bill? Then the second person says, yes. And the person one tries to hit person two.
It's kind of like Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Oh, whew. Man.
Can we take a break so I can ask several thousand questions? A nice callback for Loki, Nick. Very nice.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That... Yeah. Slab.
That's a winner.
The visual
right
was curly spinning on the ground. Yeah, that's exactly it. Oh my God.
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
is that
well,
you, Bill?
That's my new favorite family gathering tradition that we will start in our home. Although Iris is really like, she's very geared towards like wrestling and like physical activity. So I'm a little worried about giving her anything that could be
Any physical
weapon.
Games like with your kids, like you have to, like, they don't necessarily
they
have
don't know
the
when
gauge
to stop.
Down. Yeah. So it's like, I want to be careful about that one.
Yeah, they started to kind of wrestle. One of the things I loved about the family gathering is that there were multiple children in Iris's age. And so it also, for the first time ever, this is the very first time it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Iris was around the family to this magnitude, it was when she was very little. And it was for my grandfather's funeral when a whole bunch of people came into town.
Mm-hmm.
We were missing several family members because they couldn't come on short notice to grandma's birthday. But those that made the trek, there was 40 of us that descended upon this house, and there were little ones running around playing together. And I was just, it was one of those moments when you're like, they're doing what we did when we were little. And I haven't had that with Iris before. Mm-hmm. So it was really special. And I'm sure my grandmother, who was sitting there at 91, just in her rocker, just watching all of this, was just thinking the same thing. Just all of the decades of years that have passed of her seeing the family gathering in these different ways. And it was just really meaningful. But there was one moment when one of the guys started to wrestle with the little ones, and they just went and just took it to the next level. Yep. And then they're like arms around throats and just like laughing and pulling people off, and there's limbs flying. And I mean, they sit on bodies, but you know, like they were upended and all this stuff. It was
really graphic there for a second, but I think I understand what you mean now.
Not that kind of a family gathering.
I think I understand what you mean.
Oh my gosh.
That's fun.
Well, that was a fun one.
The other one that I would wonder is food. Like, there have to be those food things too, where it's like, it's not our family gathering until, you know, mom brings out the persimmon pudding or, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, it's interesting how we combine sensory things like the sound of singing or, you know, the taste of a certain food or the smell of
the
cookies.
Basement.
The smell. Mm-hmm. The basement. Yep.
Yeah, that was another one for us.
That's what I was thinking.
The basement has a very specific smell, and almost everyone that went down in the basement still smells the same down there. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's a basement.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Aaron? What's your topic today?
All right, let's head on to the A topic. When's the last time you negotiated the cost of something? How did you feel about it?
Ooh.
We're currently in the midst of finding a vehicle for our newest driver in our home, our youngest son. And it is one of those things where if you're looking for a used vehicle and you're dealing face-to-face, like on places like Facebook Marketplace or, you know, wherever, what are some of the apps that, you know?
OfferUp, things like
OfferUp, yeah, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You kind of do assume there's some built-in negotiating room to, you know, what people are doing. Every time I've interacted in that way, I've been negotiated down. Every time I've bought something, I have negotiated down. But it's not something in our culture that we're extremely used to. And so, you know, for many people, most of us, I would say, there are some interesting feelings around it. And so I was just kind of curious when the last time you did that was. And how you felt about it, because I've had to lock in my brain percentages so that I don't feel like I'm like cheating someone, which is so weird, because if you agree on a price, you agree on a price. There's no cheating involved, but sometimes it always feels like, you know, they wanted this much, but I'm saying, you know, so I just go like, my first offer is always 20% less than what they're asking.
I go 1% of what they asked. You know, that's how I said it. It's all up from there.
$100, you offer a dollar.
I'll give you $1.
Nice.
Yeah. And then see, the best part of that strategy is then you can gauge their sense of humor after that.
Yeah.
You can be like,
yeah.
And who knows? Kidding.
Who knows? Every once in a while, they'll be like, sure. Okay, fine.
Okay, yeah, fine. Which means you shouldn't buy that car because it's not even worth a dollar.
That's right.
Nick says, my neighbor was giving away patio pavers for free, and I snatched them up to build a patio. They said free. I gave them a $25 gift card. I don't think I'm good at this negotiating thing.
That's a different thing. That's generous.
That's cool.
Right?
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a whole different avenue. Yeah.
It depends on what kind of gift card it was, right? Like, what if it's a gift card to a restaurant that no longer exists or something? Which I am thinking about, because I found some gift cards that I forgot that I had of restaurants that no longer exist. So I kind of missed the window.
What?
There.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Restaurants that no longer exist. They must have just been local places or something?
I missed the boat on that one. Whoopsie. it was a Kohl's gift card. That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I
like getting, I have a gift card for a restaurant that I don't like. And then I gave it to someone and they were so excited. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. But it wasn't anything to me. So nice. Lolly says, I bought a teapot at a yard sale. I asked if they could include the cups in the price, and they proceeded to throw in three other items.
Nice.
Which I didn't really want, but I didn't want to be rude and refuse.
We had it was an adventure, an experience. Before we moved to Missouri, we had a make an offer yard sale. Nothing had prices on it. everything was tell us what you want to pay for this thing. People rebelled. And you know why? Because they wanted a starting place for negotiation. It really threw people to be able to make up their own number. And so it was an interesting couple of days doing that, name your own price yard sale, because we got a lot more than we thought we were going to get for a couple things, and basically gave away a couple things as well, you know.
Right.
And it's just like we accepted almost every first offer. And, you know, it's just really interesting.
That's really interesting, yeah.
It was such an interesting experience. I
think that's what I would prefer, is to do that, because...
On the buying end or the selling end?
The selling, like to sell it that way.
Yes.
If I was going to have a yard sale, that just seems to be like perception is everything. And if I don't need this and I'm just going to take it and donate it anyway, then if you want to give me a dollar for something, then that's great, you know?
Right.
That's really, really fascinating.
And it's fascinating to see the value people put in different things, you know, like to let them determine the value of it, you know.
I'll pay you $50 for this baby doll.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Slab says the cost of my house has issues, and the seller refused to drop the price until we found out she lied on the disclosure.
Ooh,
so threatened her with fraud, and she dropped the price 5%. Should have gone 50%, fraudster.
Ooh. Yeah, that's you don't want to lie on that disclosure. That is not something you want to do. House is another one that's definitely expected that there'll be negotiation in the house sale. Although sometimes, like you'll find, like the house we're in right now, we offered what they were asking with no negotiation because we knew it was a great deal and there were several other people. And if we hadn't done that, I don't think we'd have this house. Like, you know, they just snapped up our offer. And right now, honestly, the market is so insane right now. People are offering more than asking price right now. So it's weird. Very weird. It's very strange. The other thing that I didn't realize until recently was even big box stores like Walmart or Target or whatever will negotiate price with you. A manager has the permission to negotiate price. I never knew this. This is something that, we bought a grill one time and the box had some damage on it. And we were like, I'll give you $20 less than what's on the tag. And they were like, okay. And I was like, this is a thing?
I found a coat at Target once. It was the only coat that was they had only one size that was going to fit me. But when I put my phone in the upper pocket, it fell out onto the floor because the lining was ripped on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But I still wanted the coat and I was going to fix the lining. And so, they gave me a discount on it. This is really interesting from Lucas on YouTube, who says, as a person who has just completed a study on negotiation skills, I'm dying to negotiate something and put these new skills into practice.
Do you want to be our agent for our new car, for the car we're trying to buy?
Oh, that's right.
You want to be our sales agent?
Yeah. Put those skills to the test.
What would you sum up? What is like one, maybe two things you would sum up as like to help everybody get better at feeling better about negotiation? Am I being silly by chopping 20% off the top? Or, you know, like, I'd be curious about that.
This one's from Matt on Facebook, who says, I bought a new car at the end of April. Hi, Matt. A Jeep Cherokee. And I'm horrible at negotiating. There was already a very sizable discount from the dealer on the vehicle I wanted. Plus, I had an additional discount I had received directly in the mail from Jeep. And the end price was within our budget. So we just went with that. Maybe I could have gotten it down another $1,000. But for me, I'd rather skip the stress of haggling. And that is often how things are for me. And when I met you, Aaron, and you talked a lot about your ability to haggle, and then others who travel internationally, and there's just like literal expectations of places when you go to specific markets, for example. If you just pay what they're asking, they're confused about that because they're expecting you.
I mean,
to
they're
just
excited but confused.
But I was never taught that. I don't remember my parents ever having a price negotiation conversation in front of me, so it was never really example to me.
Right.
So it makes me uncomfortable as well. But I got better at it, especially on like Facebook Marketplace. When I was on Facebook, And then also like offer up those kinds of apps, but it's a lot easier when it's a chat conversation and not an in-person conversation, because if it's face to face, I will probably tend to just be like, yeah, you know what? I'll throw in an extra $5 for you, because it looks like you're going through a hard time, you know, in that person.
Yeah.
I get taken pretty easy, I think. So,
And it's a cultural thing, right? I don't think you're alone. Like, you know, I think it's just kind of a cultural thing that we, negotiating isn't part of our commerce very much. You know, there's a price on the item. You pay the price for the item. You take it home. But then when we deal with each other, you know, there is a little bit of give and take that's kind of assumed on the seller's part for most sellers. And they'll tell you, like, if you negotiate with somebody and you're like, would you take, you know, $1,500 for that? And they're like, no, this is the lowest I'll take. Go away. Like, you know, okay, well, here's the deal. You either take it or you don't. That's negotiation, right? So
do you respect people? And I'm going to get to Rima or Run R1Ma78's comment here in a second. But if somebody has a post and it says no negotiation or bottom, like firm, do you still try to negotiate, or do you respect that they say firm?
If they say firm, and I don't think it's a good price, I just don't make an offer. If they, I respect the firm.
Okay.
Yeah. If you say firm, I believe you.
Runma78, who is in Aaron's Twitch, says, when I sold TVs at Sears many, many years ago, we were allowed to drop the price 10% before talking to our manager. So yeah,
there,
everybody, there's negotiation room.
Wow. Wow.
10%. That's pretty good.
That's amazing. That it's just to think that you are walking around unaware that you have just a 10% discount you can just get. I heard somebody in a podcast call it the good guy discount. I don't remember all the things around that, but it's just like, hey, I'm a good guy. Why don't you just give me 10% off this TV? And like that people would just accept that. It was in a negotiating series.
I remember you talking about that. That was a while ago, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, we're buddies. I'm like, you know, we've been getting along. Can you just knock 10% off that?
Yeah. I have teeth. You have teeth. Give me that discount. This is from Molly. We negotiated hard for our car. We actually left and walked off the lot, and the manager chased us down in the car park.
Nice.
That's good stuff. And I love that.
Then you hit them with a rolled up newspaper and said, is that you, Bill? And they had no clue what was going on at that point.
Your family, get on the ground and swap me with a newspaper.
Yeah. What? Yeah, exactly.
What? I want to be a fly on the wall when a new person joins the family and they either see this or are asked to participate in this for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get over that, Lolly. That's amazing.
Let's see. Nick says this. So important information from Nick. As a former retail worker, please don't negotiate prices on non-damaged clearance items when you go to Target. We hated that. So in other words, if it's already on clearance, why are you trying to negotiate it? And if it isn't damaged, why are you trying to do that? So yeah, I totally understand that from the retailer's point of view. It is an interesting thing.
Lucas, about negotiations and the education therein, says, rarely will you get exactly what you want. You need to be aware of how far you will compromise. That's very, very true.
Here's what I'm offering. Here's what I'm willing to do without saying the willing to do. You know,
Chris's comment reminded me of when I started to really learn about negotiations from you, Aaron, and it was about services that you can call and get discounts on, like your phone bill and things like that. Chris says, usually the only negotiation I get stuck with is when I try to cancel a service. Suddenly they have all this extra stuff that they can offer me for the same price, even when that's not the reason that I'm canceling. I did not even realize how much negotiating power you have for specific things on your bills. So
I still have crazy low internet bill because that is one of those things. They do not want to lose your business, and they have a certain amount they can do. And then they have the overseeing manager has a certain amount they do. You just have to really honestly be willing to cancel. Like, you know, if you say, no, I'm canceling, and you might want to know what your alternative is if you go elsewhere. Right. So, yeah, absolutely. Negotiate phone bills, internet bills, cable bills.
call and let them know that you're shopping around and you've saw some other things. And if you can find another deal, a lot of times they'll go look at it and they'll try to match it. But yeah, they don't want to lose you.
You will have less success trying to negotiate Netflix bills, like big companies. it's a little different, but yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
Although maybe a little bit. Yep. You might find a little bit. They might be willing to keep
this
you.
This is the most important thing we've talked about so far is that you, Bill. Lolly continues by saying, my husband had to play the game the first Christmas he was with the family and he was terrified. I imagine so.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. The freaking best. The best. Let's get on to the you topic. So
yeah,
guys,
let's do it.
You are welcome now, well, at any point in time, to ask us any question, anything goes. We will read all of them and answer what we can. So it's like an AMA. We'll get to the things that we can get to. Just anything
AUA,
that's on your mind.
Technically.
AUA, yeah.
In this case.
Well, sometimes they direct things to you because they're like, yeah, Danae, we know that you don't want to answer this question.
That's true. So A-E-O-U?
A-E-I-O-U?
Ask either of us anything?
And sometimes why?
And that may be your first question today. Why?
Why?
Just why?
Just in general.
While we're waiting for the you questions to come in, and if you don't have any, that's fine as well. But if you have a topic or a question for us that you want us to discuss, let us know. But while we are waiting for those, Danae, tell us about your love for David Bowie. I noticed you're wearing your Bowie shirt.
That's such a random question.
It's not random. You're wearing the shirt.
I know, but you don't usually ask me about that.
Well, no, it's just because I know, but I don't know if you've ever like talked on the show about like, you know, what a Bowie fan you are, which is always interesting to me because usually you don't connect to the artists.
No,
you connect
I don't.
To the music.
No. Yeah. And also, I like, for example, so let's say that I liked Metallica music and then you can go and you can see Metallica shirt or Kiss or Blondie or any of these, like where when you go into stores now, you can buy these like vintage style shirts. I never buy band shirts because I feel like a cop out. Like I don't deserve to wear the shirt because technically, sure, I like that one song. But I'm not a fan.
And right, poser. You feel like a poser. Yeah.
It's a weird thing about me. I get it. Like, oh, I like that shirt. But there are certain bands that I will wear, but I've not really found a shirt style that I like. And I found this shirt and I was like, I want that shirt so bad. So this is my most favorite shirt of
Bowie.
David Bowie. Yeah. I don't remember the first time that I like fell completely in love with him, like the exact moment. There's a couple that Freddie Mercury was someone I remember the exact moment that I fell in love with Freddie Mercury. But I remember being around several people who listen to different styles. And Bowie's voice to me it's so beautiful and deep. And he experiments with like expression. And when I was in my 20s, I think I bought like a Best of Bowie album just because I was like, I really like the sound. I think one of the first times I really fell in love with him was Labyrinth, right? Like who doesn't fall in love with David Bowie when you're a kid who loves fantasy novels and stuff? And then you see Labyrinth and you see David Bowie as the Goblin King. Like who doesn't fall in love with David Bowie?
It's a great question. It's a valid question.
Hearing him sing there was the song he sings with Freddie Mercury, which I'm all of a sudden not going to be able to think of, but it's where the beat comes from.
Under Pressure.
Under Pressure. Thank you.
Yeah.
That song moved me more than I had been moved by a song before. The lyrics are incredible. I already loved Freddie Mercury. Pair that with David Bowie and little Danae was just, I went bonkers on it.
Mind blown.
So I'm going to say Under Pressure because of just that song. And I think like when I was younger, I thought that it was strange that it was the Ice Baby dun 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 thing. Like I was like, wait, why is this over here? Because I didn't understand sampling and mixing very well. So it was a distraction. And I don't know that other people we're going to listen to it and not get distracted by that because that song was more prevalent at the time. Like, mm-hmm. it'd be like, well, I just want to listen to this other song, but I loved it. Yeah. So, okay.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
that Breezy, was so random.
Breezy Lady B says, Danae, do you still remember the A-E-I-O-U song? Okay.
Do you mean the Así es el amor de Dios? The was that one from that the album that we sang at church? A-E-I-O-U? So random note is when I was young, we had the church that we attended was very, very active in the arts. And so we did massive productions for the community, set pieces that were 30 feet tall and spun around and full costume changes. It was essentially like a theater. We had like a theater department. There were also people that were just like, they had recording studios and stuff. And so there was a project at that church where they asked the kids who were always very involved in like the productions and stuff, that was me, to sing on an album that was going to be produced and sent to, I don't know, somewhere in Mexico to like a sister church or something, but the children there didn't speak English. So we learned Spanish. Well, I should say, we learned the songs in Spanish that we didn't understand what we were singing.
You memorized Spanish.
We memorized, yes. And we had classes all the time so that we got the pronunciation right. And yes, I do still remember a lot of those songs. And A-E-I-O-U was one of those. Nice. And the little kids would all like go around going, A-E-I-O-U. Because it was so cool that we knew it in a different language.
Jacob says, you question, why?
Why?
Answer, because.
That's a parent answer if you're ever going to. What a cop-out answer.
Did you have a better one that you wanted to go with?
Because it feels right.
Okay, there you go. Sonic Screwdriver says, you, is there an age you feel it's no longer acceptable to play video games? No. Nope. No, I do not.
No.
Play them as long as you want. That's fun stuff. Lucas says, you question, what do you guys think about the idea of reducing work days from 5 to 4 days? Would that really make people more productive? Some country in Europe is doing this experiment. And there are certain jobs that already kind of do this. The medical profession, I know, does like a 4 days on, 3 days off kind of thing a lot of times, doing like 10-hour shifts. I think there are a lot of ways to experiment with the way people work. I think getting out of the hourly mindset in general is going to be a positive impact on people's work and moving more towards task-oriented work environments. So that's my general thought. I think, you know, hourly-based working assignments tend to result in many ways with an emphasis on busy work, looking busy, trying to make it look like you're doing stuff as opposed to just getting your job done. And they punish efficiency. Hourly-based working jobs punish efficiency. If you do your job quicker than someone else would do the same job, you're punished for that. I think we kind of need to get out of that mindset a little bit.
I would love to see the mind shift changing in general by doing things like eliminating unnecessary work. So I think a lot of meetings that are called are really unproductive, or the amount of time spent in said meetings where you've got like, if someone else was leading this meeting and keeping us on task, then we would be spending half of the amount of time and we could get back to work kind of a thing. So I feel like there's just an efficiency shift needed in most businesses. I think there are some places that you could work efficiently with a 20-hour work week and they would be just as successful, and you should get paid just as much because
I agree.
You're still engaged and active and managing whatever you're managing, and you're still creating the same, but you have more time to play. Like some jobs you could sit up and do like hard number crunching at your computer for 6 hours straight, and then that's it. That's all that you need to do for a few days a week. And maybe you have one day of like light connections with your team or something like this. So I don't know. I feel like there's just the mentality that as long as you're there, that's important. Like if you're sitting in the seat, that's important.
Looking busy.
It's not important. And I would rather have that person out there in the world doing something that fills them up so they have the energy to bust their butts when the time comes to bust your butt. So I would love to see a lot of things change about how we perceive work. And I think that one of the things that happened with the pandemic is that a lot of companies were forced to rethink how they run as a company, and they're forced to decide if we're being productive now in ways that we didn't think were possible before pandemic and we're doing it now, maybe we should stay the way that we're doing things and shift our expectations of our work team. And in addition to that thought, you can hire people who work differently than what you perceived was the proper work. I see a lot of like disabled community on Twitter that are like, see, we can work from home. It was your own mental barriers that were keeping us out because we can't work from home. We want you here to be part of the environment. See, it is possible to rethink how we work. I don't know. I think there's a big conversation there. It's a good question.
Yep, it is a great question. Another serious question. This one comes from Lolly, who says, I hate public restrooms, especially in America with the huge door gaps. Also, why is it called a restroom here? It is not a restful place.
Yeah, it should be called a poop room, right?
Right.
Or panic room. Panic room.
This actually comes as a response to the actual you question from Acres Ridge Forge, who says, what's the opinion on public restrooms? Are you a public pooper or a hold it till you get home person? When you gotta go. I mean, that's your body. Listen, your body's telling you gotta get rid of something, get rid of it. Like holding it just causes problems, and there's a weird shame there that is like that doesn't recognize that
we all poop.
As the children's book says, everybody poops. Like it's something we all do. There's no shame involved. It's a natural human function.
Who sang that song like everybody poops and if you don't you're an android and must be destroyed? Do you remember that song?
I do not remember that song.
So it's interesting. We're going here and I'm okay with that. So I did not go poop publicly ever. I would
and can
actually...
we just clarify when we say publicly, we still mean in a private area designed for
Thank you,
this
Aaron.
Process.
Yes. I think that's a good thing to clarify.
It's a good clarify. Like there's people in the comments like, I poop in public. Well, do you really? Because no, I don't think you should.
Matt says should call it an evacuation room.
That's a great term. Yep.
To the point where I would actually be in pain over it.
It should be called a defecation station. I am only calling it that from here on out. Sorry, I need to go use the defecation station.
You know how like you can get your own stuff printed so easily. Just get stickers that are in the same rectangular shape as many signs that just say defecation.
Right, restroom,
and just like make it your personal job to just
Guys, this is what we're calling it now. The defecation station.
So I say that because thank God for good friends who are like, you can poop here and it is okay for you to do so.
There's a seat there for it and everything.
I think it probably took me 2 years before I felt comfortable to actually just go poop where I knew other people were going to be within like 30 minutes of my poop experience. And Aaron would be like, why are you hurting yourself? After we started having those conversations. But to this day, we have a system in place. So if I have to go poop, Aaron has to stay where he is and then I go and then he's not allowed to go that direction for a while because I still have issues. I have problems. I am
weird. A little shame. You have some body shame issues. Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's like a, you know, like when you're growing up, you're like, ew, poop. I try not to do that with Iris because I want her to know it's normal. I don't want her to suffer like I have where I will not go.
That comes from a real place. I mean, from a scientific place, even.
How did we get on this conversation? You guys.
Somebody asked, listen, this is what the you question is for, you know, like ask what you want to ask.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But it comes from a real place of our feces is not healthy for us. It's not like it's something we want to interact with. You know, it is our body. Body's getting rid of it for a reason, and so there's a health thing that makes that a real thing, but it shouldn't be a shame thing. It should just be, here's the clean way we deal with this, and yes, there are smells involved and all that kind of stuff, but that's just, it's part of being human. And you know,
yeah, so. Everybody poops, and if you don't, you're an android destroyed.
That is it. So when you need to use the defecation station.
Get yourself some of that poo spray. Nope. That's not what I meant.
You don't poopery. Have
the poopery.
You don't no, have
for,
to.
For those who are concerned, get the poopery spray and then just keep it with you or put it. I actually meant to get some and keep it on toilets. So if people feel like they need to.
A little self-conscious.
You just, you can just spray it in the water, do your business. It traps it in there like a magical thing. And then it's gone forever and it's fine. I really do wish we would normalize that this is just...
I really do, too. And I feel bad for people who, like, you can't know without asking this, what is technically, I guess, an awkward question. But it's like, you know, if you need to go use the defecation station at someone else's house, some people don't want you to do that. Like, there are some people who are like, why would you do that in my bathroom? And it's like, well, isn't that what it's there for? So
who would say that?
Oh my God.
Can you imagine just waiting outside of the door?
I've definitely been razzed by people like, did you just in my house? And I'm just like, yeah, isn't that what it's there for? So yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And it's like, listen, that's your issue, not mine. That is.
Go to the basement one. That's the designated poo zone.
Well, it was weird that I used their master suite bathroom.
That's probably
the problem.
That's what it was. Yeah. What a great chat. I think Selinda brought something up about public restrooms. Let me go see if I can find it. Also, I like this one from Lolly.
Mm-hmm. Our friend Jonathan is definitely... in that category of people who don't want to talk about it, don't want to think about it.
Conversations.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh man, I can't find it, but it was something about like the washing of hands. That's what makes it mostly uncomfortable is that watching people walk out of the public restroom without soap or like wet hands, and that's the most uncomfortable part of a public restroom.
We're a little caught up in that stuff. Like do you really not think you're interacting with E. coli on a daily basis, even if people are washing their hands? Like it's just
right.
I'm not saying 100%.
Wash them.
If for no other reason, wash your hands at every opportunity you get. It's just a good thing to do. Your hands get dirty. But we do get a little uptight about germs, I think, when they're all around us. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I just get mad at those little foot pedals on doors. It's just like, what are you thinking? Like, what are you trying to prove?
I get mad at them for other reasons. Here's why I get mad at the little foot. Wow, this has really turned into a chat. Those things require you to have a deep understanding of your muscle structure in a new way. Like you don't just like touch them with your toe and the door swings open. You have to touch it with your toe, depress to get the resistance, and then pull with a part of your like quad and maybe like abdominis muscles that you don't normally use to open a door. And then you also have to do this thing where you kind of hop scoot back because you're also sweeping your leg back while also having to step away from the door to get through the crack. Here's what you should do. Take your shirt, grab the handle, open it, and you're good. That's what I do.
And then you just have E. coli on your shirt all day.
That's right.
You wash your hands more than your shirt.
That's not true. I wash my shirt 6 times a day. What are you talking about?
No, these are all good thoughts.
Evacuation station is a place of hand washing. It should be mandatory. Thank you.
Freedom. Don't take my freedom away.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lots of great conversation on this. In fact, so much great conversation that the you questions have stopped coming in. So
That's right. So the show is over on the poo note.
That's right. The poo note.
The poo note.
Which note is that, Danae? Is it somewhere around a like somewhere around there? Like that level, or is more of a like that?
Or a it's the brown note, says Lolly.
Have you heard that? Do you know what Lolly's referencing with the brown note? This is the urban legend that there is a certain frequency that you can hit with sound that will cause people to evacuate their bowels. This is a real urban legend. Mythbusters did an episode on it, and that there isn't. But this is something that people believe.
Okay. Okay.
So that's the brown note reference.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And terrifying all at the same time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
They also did an episode on breaking glass with a certain note and frequency, and that is true. You can absolutely break certain kind of crystal and glass with a certain note and frequency. So, yeah. There you go. That's a better place to end it. Breaking glass.
That's right. Before we go today, you guys, I want to let my Twitch viewers know that we're going to be raiding into Timber Anew to watch some wood carving this morning. Nice.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too. Raid.
Anyone who's on Aaron's Twitch, chance to come over to the Raid channel where we're going to be going and watching Timber Anew today.
Nice. Thank you guys. We love hanging out with you so much. Mondays and some days, and we are still crossing our fingers for some days coming up, but for sure Mondays at 9 a.m. hanging out with you guys. Follow us on Twitter, wherever you watch. Make sure you give a notification, click a notification bell or whatever, so that you know when we go live. Would appreciate that. And if you want to support, you can. We are still looking for a handful of people to get to the next level, where we will do some D&D together. And that happens at patreon.com/studioDNA. You can become a member of Team DNA there. And thank you for doing that. Anything else today?
No. Have an awesome week and we'll see you later. Bye.
Catch you on the next Monday or someday. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoo another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.